Now you'll see why I've not looked forward to this day. But I'm reminded of what a dear friend and mentor of mine said years ago, the late Senator Harry Babe Woodyard. We were driving around the district going to some, how many spaghetti dinners can you count? Roast beef dinners, pancake breakfasts, four parades on one day. Babe said, you know, you have to be careful in this business. We don't eat right. We don't exercise enough. Our days are sometimes too long and our nights are sometimes too short. So make sure, Bill, that you leave this process so you don't have to leave on account of health. I turned to Babe and I said, actually, Babe, I feel pretty good. He said, I wasn't talking about your health. I was talking about the health of the voters when they get sick of you and throw you out of office. I think, I hope you know how much I love this place, how I love the process. We've had many battles over the rules. And you know, when you let the legislative process work, things can work rather well here. Ideas and good ideas will be shaped and bad ideas will be reshaped or discarded. Bills can be brought to the floor. Some will pass, some will not. I will often mourn some of the ideas that I have had, some of the ideas that Leader Cross had in the last 2 years, to reform how we redistrict the state, to reform some of the ways in which we budget, to reform how we spend money. These aren't partisan ideas, and you all know the condition that the state is in, and yet it's always been sometimes a struggle to get those ideas out of the Rules Committee. We've tried the unanimous discharge. We never could get Majority Leader Curry to leave the floor. We had people call her. We had staff send in fake cards for lobbyists that wanted to talk to her. We just never could get that done. But when you stop and think about it, we all should mourn the loss and the death of so many good ideas that never even had a chance to live, never had a chance to be debated. I think we've all lost in the process when that happens, and I think the people of Illinois lose when that happens. I want to thank Leader Cross for his very kind remarks, for taking a chance on me 8 years ago, and I think it's a measure of the man. I did not support him for House Republican Leader, and in this process, when you don't back the right horse, you sometimes pay a price, and that's understood. And I was not looking forward to going back into a 12-foot by 8-foot room in the Stratton Building without a telephone, with no key to the restroom. And Tom kept me on, and he didn't have to do that. And I think there are times that he's probably regretted that. I don't know. But he was very kind, and it's been a privilege and a pleasure to work with him. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Lee Daniels, who back in 86, all the members of his leadership team did not want me here. They had their eyes on a 6'7" state's attorney of Vermilion County, and they were going to convince him to run. Now, some of those guys, they're all gone now, but some of them weren't very good at math, because the state's attorney was making about 3 times what we made down here. And I didn't think Craig would do that, and he's now a judge. But Lee Daniels took a chance on me, and I've always been grateful to him for that. Rosemary, you may have stolen one of my old girlfriends and introduced her to her now husband, but and as much as Nancy and I had a good time in high school, the young lady that I eventually married, last June we celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary, and so I think Nancy and I both have probably chosen well. But Rosemary said it's going to be quiet here when I leave. Were you not here yesterday? I think Lou will do just fine. Now I know how Art Turner felt, but one of the things I want you to always keep in mind, look around here. Look where you work. There are few people who ever get this privilege. This ain't exactly a 6-foot by 6-foot cubicle. This is a phenomenally beautiful, historic building that has been well maintained. And you should always consider it an honor and a privilege to sit in this chamber. In the history of the state, not many people are given this opportunity. And sure that we have bad days. And I don't know what door you come in. I don't know whether you come in through the back parking lot or the north parking lot. Say hello and thank the people on the security machines. That's a tough job. Have you ever seen them in the spring when they're trying to check in 300 giggly school kids? That's a tough job. And remember why they're there. We didn't used to have that. There wasn't any security here. We didn't have ID cards. Many of you didn't know Bill, who worked at the door, kind of kept an eye on things. Man ran in the door some years ago, had a shotgun under his coat, pulled the shotgun out, and shot and killed him. And then 9/11 hit, and so we have to have security. I have talked with Jesse White. I still think it's maybe a little loose. I could drive up that north driveway at a high rate of speed. In fact, I've been known to do that. Put the car in neutral, hit the emergency brake, get out, and create all kinds of mayhem before anybody could react. And we did have, right after 9/11, the Denver barricades, those big concrete barricades, where you had to drive around it, so you couldn't just run up here. And I was told that one of the legislators scraped their car on the block, and that was the end of that. But say hello to those people. Get to know them. They're great people, and they have a tough job. And I know sometimes we forget our ID card, and we're upset because you don't know who I am. It's not an American Express commercial. No, they don't know who you are. Show your ID card. Get to know the young people that take tour groups around the Capitol. Come over a day early and take that tour of the Capitol, as I have. But every time you walk across that rotunda, look up into that dome, and remember where you work and why you work here and the responsibilities that your constituents ask you to do. I keep little notes like this out on the House floor, trying to keep my head in the right place, and it gets harder and harder as I get older. Let me share just some that I really like. Laughter is the brush that sweeps away the cobwebs of the heart. We should seize every opportunity to give encouragement. Encouragement is oxygen to the soul. Laughter is the gleam of light in the dark. Laughter is the gleam of light in the dark. And the loveliest laugh of all is that of a child. On Wednesday nights, my wife and I watch our great-grandson, who's 16 months old. What a laugh that little guy has. And I hope I get home in time to see Skyler. Let me just say this. Most of the accolades that are given to us should really be given to staff. Staff on your side of the aisle, staff on our side of the aisle. I don't know where we find such people. I don't know. I know we don't pay them anywhere near what they're worth, and they work long, long, long hours. And they can come up to the floor and whisper in your ear, and if you pay attention, they can help you with questions and help you get insight into the legislation. So let me just say, would you join me in a round of applause for the legislative staff, some of the best people I've ever met. And and to all of the people who work in this Capitol. You get in early in the morning, and Kevin will be sweeping up the back hall, and Mo and others will be in here cleaning up the chamber. The people who try and keep this place dusted and the pictures hung correctly, they're all important. And don't ever feel like when you walk in here, I'm a legislator. I'm important. No, we're not very important. We're just part of the process. One of my favorite books is Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. And I'm sure most of you have read it. If not, you've seen the film that was made in 1962. The lead character, Atticus Finch, says, "The one thing that doesn't abide by majority rule is a person's conscience." That's true. It's not easy to follow your conscience in this place, because sometime that's going to put you in conflict with your leader or your party. And there are times when you have to make adjustments. And that's hard to do. I would submit to you, if you make adjustments all the time, the real hard thing to do is to subjugate your conscience time and time and time again, and then convince yourself that it's okay, that it doesn't matter. When I get up and shave every morning, I like to look myself in the eye if I can. There have been a few times down here when I've had to say, "Ooh, why did you do that? That isn't really the way you feel." Sure, there are times when you try to reach group objectives and group goals, but there's also a time, and only you can answer that question, where is that line where you will stand up and say, "I can't do that. I just can't do that." Not easy. Not easy. I look around this chamber, and I could not and will not mention the names of the people that I've served with in here who are gone. There are only four people currently in the chamber who were here when I got here. We've all been to too many funerals. We've all seen too many desks shrouded in black. And we've eulogized too many outstanding people. There was an article in the Tribune I saw back in July of this year. It was written by Corey Franklin. I don't know Mr. Franklin, but I'm going to paraphrase what he said in one of his paragraphs. "As your parents and many of your contemporaries pass away, that signifies a milestone in your life. When they die, the conductor is telling you that your train stop is approaching. But rather than dwell on that, I prefer to remember the fun and glorious days of being able to walk beside them, work with them, when the sun was shining so brightly on our faces." God, I love this place, and I love all of you. But as in everything, there is a time. Somebody said I could Google something. I'm not sure I can spell Google, let alone figure out how to find it on. For 4 years, I called this thing an Etch-a-Sketch. And then I thought the little speaker things up here were voice activated, and I'd get here early so you wouldn't see me, and I would bend down and say, "Turn yourself on." Ron Stevens came in one day and heard me say that and turned around and left the chamber. When I came down here, there were no computers. All of the bills and all of the amendments were piled behind our desks in huge binders, and they would be four and a half feet high. And yet staff, the people who really make this place work, staff could find anything in there. in a matter of 60 seconds. They could get amendments filed in less time than that. And when I first came down here, all amendments were heard. No amendments went to rules. All member amendments were heard. The legislator who had this bill is still here, and I hope she doesn't get mad at me, but we go through this every once in a while. She filed a bill that, and it makes sense, and I understand it, but it said, we have to buy American. Well, we'd all like to do that. That all state vehicles would be made in America, and all this and that would be made in America. We're in a global society. It gets harder and harder to do. I look at Caterpillar's financial statement, and I think they're selling more of their manufactured goods in China and India than they sell in the United States. So where would Caterpillar be without trade? Fair trade, not necessarily free trade. So I looked at that. Staff helped me. We thought maybe that bill was trying to get a roll call so that Republicans might get up and say, yes, we'd like to buy American, but da-da-da-da-da. So John Cross, who used to be on our staff, and I think works for IEPA now, John could do more in a minute and a half than anybody I've ever met. Go down and get an amendment drafted, get it back, get it filed, put it in the binder, tell you what the amendment did, and in between times, smoke 2 packs of cigarettes. I think John lost a lung because of that habit. So we filed an amendment to that Buy American bill, and all it said, and we were accused of playing games with the bill, all it said is that if you have a foreign nameplate car, you couldn't park it on state property. Now, I admit we'd gone out and checked the legislators' parking lots, and I'll be doggone, there were some foreign nameplate cars out there. BMWs, Mercedes, I didn't even know what a Saab was. I wasn't sure where it was made. Did the amendment pass? Absolutely. Amendment number 2 will also pass by voice vote. There shall be no imported wine, liqueur, or beer served at any legislative reception or fundraiser. Absolutely added to the bill. We never saw the bill again. Things like that used to happen quite often. And let me set the record straight. Terry Park and I did not throw punches. I have the videotape of that, by the way, right back here. Terry wanted to change my vote. And I think that was a day we had had 8 caucuses. And every caucus started out the same. Is there anybody here who really just has to vote for that educational funding amendment? And the same 6 or 7 of us would stand up. Oh, for crying out loud. We didn't caucus in, so the 6 or 7 of us that thought we should vote for that constitutional amendment that would go to the voters would be on the ballot. It got out of the House. It never got out of the Senate. And after a long, long day, Terry simply turned to me and said, I'm going to change your vote. I said, as politely as I could, Terry, don't touch my switch. I'm going to change your vote. I said, Terry, don't touch my voting switch. He reached for the switch. I grabbed for his arm. This hand came back to straighten out his tie. We then fell into each other's arms, saying kumbaya, and got along just fine. And we parted as good friends. We really did. Oh, boy. I did not want to get to this day. But I wish you the best. I have high hopes that you will remember what we're truly here for. You have an, and I'd love to be a part of it, and I'm going to miss it. You're faced with a fiscal crisis the likes of which the state hasn't seen since the Great Depression. You can't ignore it. It won't go away. You're going to have to reach agreement on how you're going to fix it. And I don't know that you can fix it in 1 year. But you're going to have to. And it won't be easy. And I will pray for you every night that you find that solution. I don't know about your districts, but I have some school districts that if we don't pay them their transportation money pretty quick, they're going to have to park their school buses in January. Because they haven't gotten paid for transportation in months. And I have one district in my legislative district, one school district, that cannot buy any more diesel fuel. There's nobody who will give them credit. It's that bad. So I wish you the best. You have a very difficult 2 years ahead of you. To Speaker Madigan, who I'm sure would have been here on the floor to praise me, but probably fell on the tile floor and hurt himself. Now, in a serious vein, let me say this about the Speaker. And I know some of you get mad at me because about 3 times a year, I'll ask Joanne if I can go back and spend 5 minutes with him. We generally talk about Notre Dame, the Illini, his family, my family. The Speaker isn't going to sit there and talk about political issues with me. But I don't think it hurts just to say hello and to let him know that, hey, we're willing to communicate with you. We'd like to work with you. As a diplomat, I have failed. But I will say this about the Speaker, and it paraphrases what Winston Churchill said at Westminster College in Fulton, Missouri, after World War II was over, when he said something to the effect about what the Soviet Union was at that time. And I think it can apply to the way I feel about Michael Madigan. I respect his capabilities. I respect his abilities. But he can be a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Doesn't tip his hand. Never really sure where you're going, but he drives this vehicle, and you need to work with him as best you can. Let me close by paraphrasing Abraham Lincoln's farewell address at the Great Western Depot on February 11th, 1861, when he left Springfield for Washington. My friends, no one, not in my situation, can appreciate my feeling of sadness at this parting. To this place and the kindness of the people here and in the district, I owe everything. Here, I have served almost a quarter of a century, and I've passed from a young man to an old man. Let us confidently hope that all will yet be well. I bid you a loving and affectionate farewell.